All right, everyone, we are back. We are pretty much on schedule. It's about 3 minutes after here, but for the final hour of the show, I do have my guests. We have all of the technical glitches figured out, and I don't want to say your last name, so could you type it into the chat there? I will say that your website is SOS-radio.com.
That's correct.
And, well, I'm just going to let you tell me what you want for a last name. The first name is going to be Jason. And
last name? No.
Jason Knight. I guess that's supposed to be Knight, isn't it?
Correct. N-H-Y-T-E.
N-H-Y-T-E. Okay. It is but a pseudonym, but a lot of people use pseudonyms, so it's not really going to matter. SOS Radio. SOSradio.com. He's going to be doing some podcasting and going to be doing some... Actually, we're going to be talking about paranormal activity. We're going to be talking about spirits, ghosts, shadow people, probably a few other things too. Welcome, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Steve, for having me on your show. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, we finally got it figured out, but yes.
Yeah, there's weird glitches going on there. I don't know what that means, but...
Well, explain all about what SOS Radio is, Jason.
Sure. Thank you. Well, Steve, as you mentioned, my name's Jason Knight. That is a pseudonym. Myself and my organization learned many, many moons ago to use pseudonyms when researching this sort of topic, dealing with people in the public who are involved in this topic. Some of them, frankly, could be a little frightening themselves, humans. So we learned through a series of pretty scary incidences back in the day to pick up pseudonyms. And frankly, I was a little leery even to come on your show and have video to my face out there at this moment. But I'm okay with it. And as you mentioned, my website is sos-radio.com. And I'm Supernatural Occurrence Studies, Chicago's own Supernatural Occurrence Studies, SOS for short. We've been involved, my organization has been involved in paranormal research in and around the Chicagoland area for nearly 20 years. We're pretty old school when it comes to this stuff. We were around before, you know, every cable channel had a television show dedicated to people running around dark buildings, you know, yelling, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" Chasing orbs, dust. We were doing it way before that, way before it was cool to be a paranormal researcher. So we've been in the industry, I'm using air quotes, for about 20 years. And within that 20 years, we've collected some pretty, what I consider pretty phenomenal evidence of the paranormal, had some pretty hairy experiences. And we had to take a hiatus for some time, and I'll explain why in a few moments here, but we're back, and we're back with SOS-radio.com and the SOS-radio.com podcast to sort of bring our experiences to the masses. We feel having 20 years under our belt, we've earned the street cred, the chops, to really bring what we've done and the theories we've developed, evidence we've captured to the masses, and our medium is podcasting or time-released radio. Internet radio shows just like yours, Steve. We want to get the word out there that this stuff that we are dealing with is real and it deserves recognition and investigation. So after a hiatus, we're back and we're glad to be doing it again and getting some pretty positive feedback on the podcast, on the show. It's a really good feeling. It's great to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in case you hadn't heard, I think Friday was actually Art Bell's last show on his brand new network there, Dark Matters Radio. I guess he'd been having some trouble with some sort of a stalker.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, I don't want to speculate or anything, but the first thing that comes to mind is when Art Bell came back onto the radio scene, he took back a lot of his listeners from Coast to Coast AM, and they had lost a lot of people, and then mysteriously he started getting a stalker and had been shot at a couple times, and now he's off the air. So,
turf war going on in paranormal radio?
Yeah, who is going to benefit now? Who knows?
Right. Well, you know, we were never shot at ourselves, but we did encounter some really strange individuals who did stalk certain members of this organization, myself included, and it's made it really uncomfortable to do live appearances. You know, calling us under false pretense to investigate a home, only to have ulterior motives in mind, and just really kind of creepy stuff. And especially now with having a family, pseudonyms being a little bit more private is definitely the way to go. So, you know, I hope, I wish Art Bell the best. He's a pioneer, so who knows the story behind, but I wish him the best.
Yeah, I had actually started catching him back in 1991 when I had lost a job over here at a local factory over in a town near me, and I took a truck driving job. I was out on the road, and I started staying up late at nights and catching AM stations, and, you know, I was hearing about this guy named Art Bell and Coast to Coast AM, and I had to check him out and back in 1991, and that's when I first caught him.
I've never stopped listening since.
No, sure didn't.
It's a really, and that's the thing, this topic, it just sucks you right in. It's a really deep rabbit hole. What's interesting about the paranormal, what I do, I don't care who you are, what stage of life you're in, what profession you hold, I don't care who you are, you have a story, or you know someone very close to you who's had a story that really made you question yourself. Did I really just see that? Did I just hear that? Did I just experience that? In all walks of life, across religion, across the globe, for as far back as recorded history. So there's got to be something there. So it is a deep, deep, dark hole once you get involved.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I remember Art Bell, when I first started listening to him, he was about, it was about all types of different subjects. It was about ghosts. It was about shadow people, about vampires, aliens.
Conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Yeah.
But
it's funny, you mentioned shadow people. I know Art Bell covered that extensively, and a shadow person is the reason why Chicago's own Supernatural Occurrence Studies had to take a hiatus. I don't know when it happened exactly. I don't know where I picked it up, but I have an attachment, and I think it stems from either a location I visited, researched, got involved with, or, you know, way back in early high school days, freshman, sophomore year, playing the Ouija board like a fool. I picked up this attachment, and I've dubbed him Mr. Lincoln. And I know the name sounds silly, but every time I see this being, this entity, this energy, he's all in black. He's extremely tall, all in black, and he appears to wear a stovepipe type hat, like Abe Lincoln, our president, used to wear. And this entity has very long arms. And whenever I'm in the thick of paranormal research, researching a case, even bringing the podcast together and getting the website going, and, you know, just starting to think about this again after so many years, Mr. Lincoln appears. And he's always there, just out of the corner of my eye, kind of just watching. And it got to the point where I was suffering physically, emotionally, physiologically, no sleep, paranoia, on edge. And it's a consensus that these beings, this energy, does that to people. And through all my research, you guys out there could just Google Hat Man, H-A-T, Hat Man. Google Hat Man. You'll see what I'm talking about. When I was putting together this website, when I was dealing with my web designers and my storyboard designers, there's an animated storyboard on sos-radio.com that kind of explains in visual media what I'm going through with this attachment. But when I was going through trying to explain this entity to my web developers and storyboard developers so they could build him into the visual media, I was doing research online to try to find a picture, you know, because the people who were designing for me just didn't understand what I was trying to explain. So I ran across one article about the Hat Man, and I said, oh, that looks just like my Mr. Lincoln. And, you know, click on one link, and hundreds of stories later, there's lots of people in the world who experience my Mr. Lincoln, their version of my Mr. Lincoln. And what everyone agrees on is these beings are watchers, you know, from where, watching what, for whatever reason, no one knows. But they're there, and I'm not the only one experiencing them. In fact, when I stop researching the paranormal is when he goes away. I don't see him. When I pick it back up, he starts appearing. Matter of fact, now, as of, you know, August 2015, this year in August 2015, my daughter started becoming affected by my Mr. Lincoln. It was a late Saturday night. I was up watching Game of Thrones. It's fantastic, by the way. And it was the episode of the Bloody Wedding, and it was about 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. The episode had just ended. And my daughter comes running up from the basement in hysterics, you know, Daddy, Daddy, there's this man in my room, this tall man in my room. He's sitting on my bed and he's, you know, sitting by my shoulder. She asked me, could I make him go away? And of course I couldn't. So that's when I realized that my Mr. Lincoln is also making himself known to my daughter. And right then and there, when I was holding her in my arms, that's when I knew something's got to be done. And my purpose of the SOS-radio.com podcast, my underlying theme, anyway, throughout this whole new podcasting experience is to throw light on these beings, these entities, these energies, because they don't like to be seen. So if I expose them for what they are, hopefully my attachment will go away. So that's kind of why I'm doing this. You mentioned shadow people. I'm sure I'm going to pay the price for talking about Mr. Lincoln, but that's why I'm doing this. Shadow people are real. They're watchers, and they don't like to be watched, which is ironic, but for what it's worth, that's why I'm doing this.
Yeah. I had a listener actually go Google a link and come up with a mysteriousuniverse.org link. Beware of the Hat Man is the name of the article.
You see?
And somebody's actually written a book. It's called The Hat Man, The True Stories of Evil Encounters.
I'm Googling it right now. That's insane.
Heidi Hollis.
I didn't know it was a big deal. I thought I was the only one who heard what the
heck. Yeah, but has Mr. Lincoln or the Hat Man ever given you any kind of indication that there was nefarious activities or any kind of harm was going to come to you? Or
Not outwardly. It's just the side effects of him being around that I experience. He's never come out and said, stop doing what you're doing.
Right.
People do that to me. People do that to members within my organization.
Really?
They tell us to stop. We're dabbling with things we shouldn't be. We're tapping into energies we shouldn't be. The beings themselves never. They don't speak. They don't. Nothing. No indication that they're there to cause harm. But I strongly believe they do cause harm simply by the physical, physiological side effects of them, if that makes sense. The lack of sleep, the paranoia,
sure.
The agitation.
Sure. Well, here's that link right here. I'll just pass it in Skype there for you.
Excellent.
But that might be an interesting book to check out there, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm not even sure when this was actually printed or anything. I don't see anything on this particular page right here. But anyways, the shadow people, they've been seen all throughout time, haven't they?
They have. Yes, they have. It's no rhyme or reason. I'm sure you could walk into a reputed haunted location and see a shadow dance across the wall. You know, that's fairly common. The shadow people I think you're referring to are these others, the watchers, the sentient beings that people capture, you know, get a glimpse of.
Yeah.
I think there's something entirely different than the shade, the spook, the wrath, the ghost, you know, that people are typically accustomed to. I think it's a whole nother level. And I don't know too much about them. But they have been seen, absolutely. Some people say they're ourselves, something much like ourselves, just in an alternate reality or an alternate dimension. The movie The Others with, Nicole Kidman? The movie The Others, the premise behind the movie is the closest parallel I could make, take out all the Hollywood mumbo-jumbo, but the idea behind The Others is kind of the closest parallel I can make to what these beings might be.
I haven't even seen that movie, so I guess I got to go see it now.
Oh, yeah, check it out. It's actually pretty intelligent, again, save for all the Hollywood special effects. But it's people in an alternate reality who see us and investigate us just as we would see a ghost investigate a ghost, albeit the ghosts are other humans just in a different dimension that we happen to glimpse from time to time.
Yeah,
it's really pretty interesting. And I'm sure that ties all into quantum string theory and what have you.
Sure, I believe... Okay. Allegedly, science has proven through string theory that there are at least 11 universes, alternate dimensions anyways.
Correct. And if those strings vibrate for whatever reason, whatever causes them to vibrate, and they vibrate enough to where they touch instantly one another, those realities, those strings, that's when supposedly we get a glimpse of what's on that side. So possibly that's where the shadow people originate from. I don't know. Still others think they're extraterrestrial beings.
Yeah. Yes, this is true, too. I wonder if a place like a home or a sanitarium or a hospital or, I don't know, army base or something where people have been killed or died over mysterious circumstances has something to do with being able to promote this connection.
It's an interesting thought. My organization has toyed with the theory that the chemical composition of brick, wood, building material, cement, conduit, what have you, chemical composition within building materials could actually retain the energy that we exude either as we're living or after we die, and then act almost like a cassette tape and replay that energy sometime in the future. Pretty interesting to think of.
Yes, it is. But... it seems that, I also wonder if somebody's heightened senses can bring forth a connection.
It's yeah, there too. We've done tours, supernatural research tours, and we would take a group of people into a haunted location, a location that we verified, proved ourselves was haunted. And when certain members of the party, for example, we had this one tour to Bachelor Grove Cemetery, a cemetery in far south side of Chicago, right off Midlothian Turnpike. One of the nation's, if not the world's most haunted cemetery we have right here in Illinois. We took a group there one night, and we had some jocks in the group who were completely acting crazy, just acting really obnoxious, being stupid, disrupting everybody. All of a sudden, while the remainder of the group was completely calm, these guys, this small group, there might have been three of them, suddenly became acutely aware that there was something around them, engulfing them, if you will, touching them, got extremely paranoid, had to go, we gotta get out of here. While everyone else in the group was like, what are you talking about? We don't feel anything. This energy, ghost, spirit, whatever you feel comfortable calling it, the supernatural occurrence studies calls it trace energy. This trace energy targeted these individuals and latched itself to them because I think they were exuding different behavior than the rest of the group. Think of it like the predator, you know, the predator, how he sees in that infrared.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have a weapon, he goes after the people with the weapon. Kind of the same thing, only the weapon in this instance was the emotional energy they were exuding within this haunted location. And that energy targeted them, and they did not like it one bit.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
Matter of fact, we have two members of Chicago's own supernatural occurrence studies are clairsensitives. Some people call them medium, but the exact term is clairsensitive. They could sense this energy. Because at the end of the day, whatever we call ghosts, spirits, it's an energy of some sort, an energy that hasn't been recognized by modern science yet and maybe never will.
Right.
These two members of our organization, Dave Black and Joe Erie, they're clairsensitive. They could tell when these energies are around. They don't talk to dead people. They don't channel spirits. But they could sense this energy, and they could tell if the energy is positive or negative, benign or meaning ill will. And it's pretty interesting to see them too, those two guys, how they react in haunted environments. It is really interesting. I think the energy does sense that difference in them and really hones in on them and targets them.
Yeah. Do you think back when you was in high school and you went and got the Ouija board and you played with it, do you think Hat Man could have came into your life then, and you just didn't know it? You just didn't see him?
It's certainly possible. You know, back then, caution was in the wind. We didn't, you know, a young man doesn't care. Young kids don't care. They're unstoppable.
They're invincible. I know.
Invincible, exactly. If a Hat Man is, I don't want to say a religious being, but if it is a demon, let's just say if it is a demon, as some believe, popular theory says that you have to do something to invite that demon into your life. A demon can't just attach itself to you. You have to do something to invite that demon in. A Ouija board, some would say, is definitely an open door. Come on in. Do I know if that's when it happened? I don't. You know, we've investigated some pretty intense environments, and Hat Man could have come from any one of them, a collective of all of them. I don't know. So, but definitely the Ouija board, to all your listeners, don't even play with it. There's nothing good that could come. So.
No. Somebody wanted to know if that was a dog yelping in the background. I think it was a child, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's my son. I have myself sequestered to the basement. And You're hearing him through the vents, and I apologize for that.
That's okay. That's not a bother. We're not a professional radio station here, so.
I really apologize, Steve. But yeah, that's my little boy. No, and it's, you know, they're two. It's funny. My son, 2.5 years old, we don't talk to him about any of this stuff. Yet recently, as we feed him, sometimes he'll get stubborn. He wants you to feed him. He won't feed himself. If we're feeding him, he'll say, feed the ghost. You gotta feed the ghost first.
Feed the ghost, huh?
And he points to an empty corner of the room. You know, he's not pointing to my wife or my daughter or
right.
Whoever else happens to be eating dinner with us. He's pointing to an empty corner in the room. Feed the ghost. You have to hold the spoon up to the ghost.
Yeah.
Hold it there for 2 seconds in the air, and then he'll take it. How does he know that?
Yeah.
Children are paranormal receptors.
Have you tried it yet?
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I say, have you tried that yet?
Tried what?
Held a spoonful of food up to the corner and
oh, absolutely, we have to. He insists.
Oh,
he but insists. It, hold it up first.
But it doesn't disappear, though, does it?
Yeah. And then he'll take it.
Well, you know, I mean, it's children have had imaginary friends for, forever and ever and ever. From the beginning of time, they've had imaginary friends.
Yes, and that's a big theory of ours within supernatural current studies. You know, children are, they're extreme paranormal receptors. Why is that? You know, every member of supernatural current studies learned to love the paranormal, not 2 years ago when we watched the most recent Insidious movie. No, we learned 30 years ago, 30 plus, when we were kids, children, we learned to love the paranormal. And why is that? Children's minds are wide open. They see what is given.
They haven't been programmed by society yet.
Exactly. No religion, no school, no politics. No one telling them you're crazy if you see a ghost. That's silly. That doesn't exist. They see what is and they accept. Problem is, I think, they see so often that eventually they become desensitized to it. Kind of like us as humans. We see, as adults, we see horrible, horrible images on the news every single night, online, in the newspapers. We're desensitized.
Yeah.
You know, we're a tragedy to tragedy kind of nation. We stop seeing the horror for what it is.
Yeah. Have you thought about going into a situation by maybe thinking of embracing it instead of being fearful of it, maybe being curious of it and not so fearful and trying to, look at it as a learning experience instead of trying to be scared or something?
Do you mean for my children or ourselves personally?
For yourself in time.
When it catches me off guard, I'm scared.
Okay.
When I'm out looking for it and something happens, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it just further solidifies in my mind, in supernatural current studies mind, that this stuff is real. But when I'm not watching for it, when I don't want to see it, that's when it kind of gets me and I don't like it. Like,
sure.
Like the Hat Man, like Mr. Lincoln. I don't want to see him anymore. I don't like him. I don't like the vibes he brings around. But when I'm out there doing it, I love it.
Well, that's what I was saying. Maybe you should embrace the experience one time and just see what happens. Maybe if you weren't fearful of it and weren't afraid many, many times over many, many encounters, maybe it would just go away. Who knows?
Strike a deal or something. Yeah, you never know.
Sure. Like, I don't know. I used to be afraid of you, but I'm not anymore. So, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, you have no power.
Yeah. What are you going to do now, huh?
Not a bad idea.
We'll see. Sam in the chat there says, sounds like fear is the attraction, so stop fearing. It seems they don't hurt you physically, but can cause you to hurt yourself.
Yeah. Never been touched, never been anything thrown at me, or like the writer there just said, never physically. It's that physical toll, the emotional toll.
It's all an emotion, yeah.
Yeah, and when you have a wife and children, you don't want to be... You want to be in that state of mind. It's just not a good place to be. So I hope just by doing stuff like this, Steve, interacting with people who are writing right now, it's throwing light on them. Maybe then they'll go away. But you have a point.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of it. Dave Black, my co-founder of Supernatural Car Set, he's like, don't fear the unknown. Go up and poke it with a stick.
That's right. Can you imagine?
Maybe I should take a page out of his book.
Yeah. Can you imagine one night, 10 years from now, you're having a party and you have friends over and... say, hey, come on over here and see what I see. My friend, Mr. Lincoln.
Man, that would be something.
Yeah, and then they're all freaking out. Oh no!
Come to my museum of horrors here. Let me show you what I got.
Yeah,
but we keep going. You know, we're back. We had a good following when we were in the thick of supernatural current studies, and it was really a shame that we had to quit. But once it affected my daughter, I'm back, and I want to expose it.
Yeah.
And just move on, and hopefully it goes away. So but still keep up with the paranormal research, Jeff.
I'm sorry. How old is your daughter?
She's 7 and a half.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's still about that point to where, she can see, have her friends, or whatever they're called. The
imaginary friends?
Yeah, imaginary friends.
Thankfully, we haven't had any of that talk go around the house, ever.
Yeah.
Because me being coming from this angle, I would really have to question who that friend was.
Right. Exactly. What kind of stories have you ever heard, Jason, of people conjuring up spirits or some sort of entities or demons or whatever by the use of a Ouija board? Have you heard some pretty wild stories?
Yeah, I have. nothing to where anybody died, but nothing that extreme, nothing Hollywood, but just suffering that heaviness after sessions with the Ouija board, that feeling that I'm not okay. There's something with me now. That's the whole feeling of I shouldn't have done that, the regret. You know, maybe odd things will happen around their house, shadows will be seen, things moving on their own. It's like a mini possession. I've heard countless stories like that. You know, one time someone contacted us, wanted to investigate their home after their teenagers had a sleepover. And they were doing the Ouija board during the sleepover. And, you know, a week later, that all hell broke loose in the house. And things were flying all over. The you know, family dog was acting crazy. The kids' moods changed. And I turned that one down. I didn't want to get involved in it. But, you know, just kind of stuff like that. When you do a Ouija board session, you start with, you know, Ouija board, could you please send me a spirit? We don't start it with Ouija board, could you please send me a good spirit? Could you please send me a spirit that's not going to attach itself to me and cause me hell? So just the way we were taught to use a Ouija board is leaving it wide open for interpretation to whatever's on the other side, sending stuff back. And a lot of times it's not good.
So what do you mean by taught by, is there a manual that comes with a Ouija board?
Just kind of coming up, growing up, kind of how you were taught to do the Ouija board, what to say to open a session. When you say those words, that little silly incantation, you're really asking for, hey, anything, come through and talk to me. We really don't differentiate send me something good or send me something bad, just send me something. That's asking for trouble.
Yeah. Do you happen to know the history of the Ouija board or anything? Or
I mean, I haven't done much research into it, so I really can't speak on where it all started from. But
I just know
we've even done it with a shot glass and a piece of construction paper.
Yeah.
And had it work or seem to work. It doesn't need to be an old wooden carved Ouija board or Parker's Brother Ouija board. We've done it with a shot glass and construction.
Yeah.
And but I don't know the whole genesis of the Ouija board. Sorry.
Well, Gary, you would like to know how old you are now.
I'm 38.
Okay. You've been doing this almost 20 years then, huh?
That's correct. Yep. Yes, sir.
Jason said, hang on a second here. Sure. I'm sorry. Not Jason, but Joan. She said, when her son was 2, he used to tell me he was talking to his other brothers. She also said, I had an encounter with spirit when pregnant with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
So were there other brothers involved? I mean, were there bosses within the family that the child might have picked up on? Or I wonder.
I don't know.
Children are great at sensing that stuff. I mean, they're wide open. And, you know, unfortunately, once things become so commonplace, they become forgotten or mundane. Once things become mundane, they're forgotten. Kids stop seeing.
Yeah.
The magic is gone by the time they're 10 years old, you know.
She did have 2 previous miscarriages.
See, unfortunately, there you go. I'm sorry. But
yeah.
Kids never discount them. They're the most honest, open, beautiful thing in the world.
Oh, most 2.5-year-olds never lie.
Exactly.
They don't
so
lie.
So if they say they're seeing some or talking to somebody, yeah, chances are they really are.
Gee, you're fat. Boy, you're ugly.
The other day, my daughter asked me, Daddy, why do you have boobs? I was just going to leave home. I was not going to come back after that. But yeah, they're completely honest and open, and
yeah,
you really should heed what they say. I believe they really are seeing something.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, they don't really have the programming from society, and they don't have preconceived notions. I believe there was a scientific study back in the 30s and 40s, but there's been scientists that have taken 2-month-old babies and sent them in front of deadly snakes and other deadly animals and stuff, and they had an indifference because they didn't really know what it was, and
right,
you know, they weren't scared of spiders or snakes or any other kind of animals.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we pound into their head stranger danger, right?
Because
they trust everybody. They just see what is, and they just trust everybody.
Yes, they do.
Everything they're presented with, they trust. So they take it at face value.
But what kind of experiences have you had? I mean, did you have when your group was all together back 20 years ago? What kind of experiences did you happen upon?
Yeah, I mean, we were at one I could think of, right? A few I could think of that were most intense for me that I could recall at this moment. One was at Robinson Woods Indian Burial Ground. It's Indian Burial Ground, far northwest side of Chicago, Lawrence Avenue and East River Road, just outside Norridge, Illinois. and this Indian chief, he was chief of the Potawatomi Chippewa and Ottawa Chippewa Potawatomi, Chief Alexander Robinson. He was a friendly chief to the United States during the Fourth Dearborn Massacre of 1812. And anyway, during the War of 1812, he helped some prominent European settlers escape the massacre at Fort Dearborn, which was in Chicago. And he shuttled them off to Fort Mackinac Island in Mackinac, Michigan. And for those efforts, he was awarded this, 2,000-acre plot of land on the northwest side of Chicago there. And he was friends of presidents. He was rich, well-to-do, opened Chicago's first tavern. But anyway, when he because of his war efforts, he was granted this land by the Prairie du Chien in annuity, in lifetime annuity. No matter whatever happened to Alexander Robinson, this plot of land would be in his family unless otherwise stated by presidential decree in the future. So this land was to stay in his family forever. When he died, he was buried on the land, along with a few other key members of his family. And today, it sits right smack in the middle of a residential neighborhood.
Of course it does.
Yeah, I mean, it's the most surreal place because you could stand 50 yards into this essentially Indian burial ground and see traffic whip by on a busy Chicago street and still experience paranormal phenomena. So at this location, now Potawatomi in English means firekeeper. We've been in Robinson Woods, standing 50 yards from the street, looking back into these kind of immeasurably dark woods. There's no homes, no street lights, no telephone poles, nothing. It is forest preserved woods. And we see these roaming bonfires. They'll appear, way to the left. They'll flare up, and then they'll die out. And then 2 seconds later, bam, they're all the way to the right. And it'll flare up again. And then it'll move to the middle and go back and forward and left, right. Firekeepers. This is the way they used to communicate in the woods while they were hunting. They would use torches and any means of light that they could muster at the time to communicate. So it was almost like whatever was back there, these spirits, these energies were trying to communicate with us the way they used to in the dark, through fire. That was pretty interesting. We've had, full body shadows walk right up to us and then just disappear in front of us. Phantom sense.
You think they passed right through you?
No, they would stop kind of right in front of us and then just disappear. And now, this was at night, this particular night. This all happened in one evening. It was at night, so these things were darker than the dark backdrop of the forest. So these dark shadows would walk towards us and then just dissipate right in front of our eyes.
How many pairs of underwears did you guys have?
Yeah, it was pretty freaky. And then the vibe, changed. And it got really oppressive, very heavy, very, you don't belong here. And a member of Supernatural Card Studies, Joe Erie, one of the clair mediums, he grabs me by the shoulder. He's like, Jay, we got to go. He said, right from behind my back, almost seeming to step out of my back, was this black shadow kind of slinking away from me. And he grabbed me and made me leave the premises. It got really nasty really quickly. At first, it was kind of toying, playing around the fires, almost like they were communicating, the shadows walking right up to us. Okay. But then the atmosphere got really heavy, really oppressive, and something was seen walking from my back, and we had to get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
That's one night at Robinson Woods that I remember clear as day.
Hmm.
Bachelor Grove Cemetery, arguably one of the most haunted cemeteries in the country, if not the world. I apologize for that crash upstairs. We took a tour there one time, and it was late fall. Bachelor Grove Cemetery is in the middle of the woods. It's the cliche Hollywood cemetery, abandoned, forlorn, way back into the woods, about a quarter mile back into the woods. No surviving family members left to anyone still interred at Bachelor Grove Cemetery. Completely isolated from the rest of the world. So we took a tour back there one night. And as I said, it was late fall. There was a lot of fallings on the ground. Leaves, branches, twigs. And the cemetery is surrounded by a fence. Someone, I don't know how many years ago, cut a hole in that fence. And that's how people kind of gain access. I remember when we brought the tour into the cemetery, we had to go through this large hole in the fence. And as we were going through the hole, we were crunching through all these fallings because they were piled up in the front of the gate where we had to enter. And everyone walking in was making all this loud noise, crunch, 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 crunch. I'm like, oh, great. If anything's here, it's gone now. We made so much noise coming into the place. So I get to tour in when we go to a section of the cemetery where I used to like to stand and tell the stories. And all our group was there. And I remember turning and I looked at the entrance to the summit to the Bachelor Grove, where we just came through, where we just made tons of noise coming through. And there was a man, what seemed to be a man, walking there in the exact same spot we had come through, only he was making zero noise. He wore dark jeans, could have been jeans, could have been dress pants. He wore a yellow and black plaid shirt, and he had brown hair and a very, very pale face. And he was walking in the exact same spot, as I said, where we had just been, only making no noise. And he looked, as I turned and saw him, he turned and he looked dead at me and then just vanished right in front of my eyes. I told the group that I was touring, that I had toured into the cemetery, told them what happened, and they were speechless. So about a half hour later, we're walking through the cemetery. I'm pointing out key tombstones and things. And one of the group members starts being very provocative with the spirits of Bachelor. You don't exist, just being, just provoking. You'll see on TV, all these ghost shows, they provoke. They try to piss off the spirits. Not smart.
Yeah.
So this guy starts provoking, and I'm like, dude, you don't want to do that. And he's like, ah, there's nothing here, blah, 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 blah. I don't believe it. All of a sudden, we heard this loud, it sounded like a lion, this loud growl, this very loud growl. And from the middle of the cemetery, a large tree grown in the middle of the cemetery, it looked like a torso. From the head down to the waist, no legs, had arms, and it was pumping its arms like it was running right at our group, right at the group, right towards us. We all ran and got the hell out of there. Just flew out of that cemetery, ran the quarter mile down back to Midlothian Turnpike. And it was really intense. That was pretty scary. So, those are just two I could think of right at the top of my head.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you think, well, I know that there's been some shows on it in the past. I haven't seen any type of these ghost hunter shows or anything like that for quite a while now, but I do remember one show. It's been a few years ago now that they would have all kinds of electronic devices. There would be recorders, there would be cameras, there would be infrared cameras, there would be night vision cameras. And do you think these type of electronical devices can pick up some sort of a presence easier than what they.
That's a great question. We get that question all the time. Do they work? We had it all. We had Gauss meters, EMF meter, electromagnetic field meters, motion detectors, night vision, infrared. We had it all. Very rarely did it actually work. We as an organization used that equipment to rule out atmospheric conditions, thermal gun, faulty in a home, faulty foundation, air coming through a window as opposed to it being a cold spot from a spirit. No, there's a leak you have in your window or the foundation or what have you. We use this equipment to rule out natural phenomena before we can start talking about paranormal phenomena. I think the best piece of equipment for detecting the paranormal is yourself. Your body knows when this energy is around. Capturing it, simple 35mm auto advanced cameras, typically around 800 speed film.
You mean the old time cameras?
Click. Could it be believed to call that old time now?
Yeah.
That's where we had the best results. Grant, yes, we did capture it on digital, but no one, it's so hard to fake digital. I mean, you could go to sos-radio.com right now.
Yeah.
Click on photos and videos. All those photos you see right there were captured on simple 35mm auto advanced camera around 800 speed film. We preferred using Fuji Superior film. You can still find it. There's negative. When we captured the images you'll see on the website, there had to be something there to get burned into the negative of that film. That negative is your proof that there was something there. I could jump on Photoshop with my iPhone and make the craziest ghost picture you ever seen.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
Anybody could. An 8-year-old. Well,
they're making alien videos now and spaceship videos and stuff.
Exactly. I have an app on my phone where I could have a spaceship land in my front yard and destroy the whole block.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And believe it or not, I've actually seen faked videos where somebody took like an F-16 and run it into a high-rise building.
Wow.
And it looks real.
Yeah, so, and that's exactly it. When we could say, no, this wasn't done on digital, this was done on a 35mm camera with film, a roll of film, believe it or not, that says something, because you have that negative is your proof. There was something there when that picture was captured that caused that image to be burned out of the negative of the film. When some of the photos you'll see on the website, you'll see these thin green stripes going through the film. That's actually going through the picture, excuse me. That's actually caused by a high concentration of static electricity being around the film at the time. I'm in the middle of an abandoned cemetery out in the south side of nowhere, south side of Chicago. There's nothing that should be causing high amounts of static electricity to be around my camera while I'm taking the photo.
Right, right.
Unless this trace energy, the stuff ghosts are made of, was present. And sure enough, it turned up in the photo.
Well, you know what people actually don't realize, Jason, is we are energy ourselves.
Absolutely. Our brain waves, our cardiopulmonary system, it's all electrical in nature. It's electric-based. And physics tells us energy is never created or destroyed, right? I mean, everyone knows that.
Yes, that's right.
So where does that energy that we exude every day, by the way, what happens to that energy when ultimately our container, our bodies, are gone? Physics tells us it just doesn't end. It has to go on.
Yes.
We don't know, as an organization, we don't know if the energy that we experience day in and day out, ghosts, if you will, we don't know if that energy comes from a person, per se. We think it's probable, but we don't know if it's proven beyond a doubt. Who's to say that this isn't a naturally occurring phenomena, energy, that we just do not have the proper equipment to register and investigate?
Yep.
You know, how many years ago, people didn't know microwaves existed, microwave signals,
microwaves,
microwaves, exactly, thank you. We didn't know those existed until we had the proper equipment to register them. Who's to say that these ghosts, trace energy, aren't a naturally occurring phenomenon?
Well, actually, just radio waves are actually microwaves anyways, Jason. But I heard something interesting the other day that perhaps the light that people claim to see whenever they are dying, they're going towards the light.
Right.
Who's to say it's possibly not the light that a baby sees when it's born, coming out of the womb?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Or it's the synapses in our brain firing for the very last time.
Certainly.
Or, you know, if we're resuscitated, what we thought was the very last time.
Was the very last time, yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? No one knows. Our most powerful occultists in the world, you know, say that if there's ghosts, we're going to come back and we're going to tell you. We're going to let you know. No one's let us know beyond a doubt yet.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Well, do you believe in... I guess we can go ahead and go there. Do you believe in the religious deities?
Absolutely.
There you go.
Okay. Me, personally, I'm from the south side of Chicago. I'm from Bridgeport, religious Italian Catholic neighborhood in Chicago south side. For me, experiencing the paranormal, photographing it, interacting with it, videotaping it, audiotaping it, for me that said, okay, if there is this stuff, right, what I'm experiencing in the here and now, there has to be that. You know, the Bible tells us, Catholic doctrine tells us that when you die, you go to heaven or hell, or if you were just in the middle, you know, too bad for heaven, not bad enough for hell, you hung out with your body in purgatory, in other words, awaiting to come into Christ.
Sure.
Well, what are these things then that I'm experiencing, that my teammates are experiencing, that we have photos of? So for me, that proved, yes, there is more out there. There's a God somewhere.
Yeah.
Whether it's a Catholic God or a Buddhist God or, you know, I can't say, but there's definitely, for me, I do believe in this stuff brought me closer to that, I think.
Sure, sure.
Now, some members on my team would say the exact opposite. It made them believe less in organized religion, but yeah, I can't speak for that.
Yeah. Geez, that was a question I was going to ask. Just had it on tip of my tongue, but... anyway, that's okay. I might think of it. I mean, sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But there was a time way back when in your guys' early career that you were actually offered something, weren't you?
I was offered something?
Yes, you were offered something of a show or something or some sort of a thing.
If I think I know what you're referring to, we were contacted by a TV station.
Yes.
Is this what you're referring to?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. I'll leave the TV station out of it, I guess.
Okay,
but,
sure.
We were contacted. This is when we had an old website up. We were in the thick of doing what we're doing. And we were on TV. We were on the radio, in newspaper, on the web, as we were in the thick of supernatural occurrences. And we were contacted by a TV station. And it was right at when all this paranormal fanaticism really started to hit the mainstream. And we were contacted to see if we were interested in doing a show, and kicked myself today, but I thought it was a hoax, so I didn't even follow up.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunately the sad truth. But I thought it was a hoax. I didn't think. Again, we had some really weird experiences with the crowd, the paranormal community, so I just thought it was a hoax. So who knows? Could have had my own TV show. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right.
I'm thinking. I'm not positive, but I think Joan said her grandmother was a medium.
Still with us, or
that I'm not sure. I guess she'll probably hear that in 30 seconds or so, and then kind of respond. There is a bit of a delay there, but
got it. Because we would love to have another. I say true medium because again, the two that I work with, my guys are clairsensitives. They don't channel or speak to
right.
those who have passed. So we would love to interview a real medium on our podcast, and maybe they could read us.
Well, they're over in, I did forget to tell you, Jason, we're on a predominantly European network here.
Oh.
Broadcasting over in Ireland, Scotland, UK, and Spain, and
wow.
and elsewhere.
Hello?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I've put your website in there twice now, sosradio.com.
SOS-radio, right?
Oh, I see.
Dash is very important.
Yes, I do. Joan said her grandmother communicated with her via a medium.
Oh,
that's
I
what
see.
It was.
And yeah, I wonder how the medium. I know there's a delay, but how did the medium do? Were they accurate? Was it convincing? Because there definitely are real mediums out there, but there's also
a lot of fakery. Yeah.
Yes, which gives the real medium, of course, bad names.
Bad names, for sure.
Kind of like how you find that one horrible contractor, and in your mind, it gives the rest of the world the contractors.
Yeah. Gives them all a bad name, doesn't it?
Yes. And a friend, a really good friend of ours, his mother actually works here in Illinois, works with the police all the time, helping solve crimes and disappearances, missing persons.
She said yes. She said yes, they were effective.
That's excellent. Well, I'm glad she had a good experience.
Yeah.
So there are real ones out there, but unfortunately there's a lot of fraud as well.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to mention, if you don't mind, you know, if anyone on iTunes, they could just look up SOS-radio on iTunes and subscribe to our podcast and hear more about this stuff, too.
Absolutely. Well, you just did what I was going to ask you to do to, just go ahead and say anything for the last minute or so, if you'd like to.
Oh, well, we love interacting with our audience. We love hearing stories from other people, other parts of the world. Since you mentioned predominantly European market, that's excellent. We're trying to figure out if any of this stuff is regionalized. Does one region or type of person, religion, nationality, political belief, is one more prone to paranormal experiences than the other? So we love hearing about other people's experiences. You could send us photos, video, we'll put them up on the website. All credit and ownership is, of course, to the submitter. We don't take credit or own any of it. But we like to theorize and discuss, not only about ghosts and the paranormal, even though that's my specialty, but my show is also about aliens, cryptids. Steve, conspiracies, I would love to have you on my show one day, because I think you're brilliant with what you do.
But that can be arranged.
It's about our paranormal world.
Yeah.
So look us up at sos-radio.com. You could follow me at Chicago Ghosts on Twitter or Jason Knight, N-H-Y-T-E, on Facebook or Google Plus. You could also email us submissions@sos-radio.com. I just want to communicate with people and see what we can figure out.
Well, that interview can be arranged there pretty, someday. Just give me a shout sometime and give me some times and days, and I'll tell you what, when and where.
Absolutely, Steve. I would love that.
Oh, just one last question. Do you think now that you have had a long hiatus, do you think if somebody were to happen to approach you right now, would you entertain something like that again? Some sort of a show? Or?
Yes.
Yeah?
As long as I can call the shots.
Sure.
Or have some creative input, because unfortunately, and this I'm not lambasting or trying to bash anybody, but you could Google where a lot of these popular shows have faked evidence to keep ratings up.
I was going to ask you that.
Yes. And that's something that you just can't do. It just discredits the whole community.
Well, so. I've noticed here over the years, recently, more recently than in the past year, some of these so-called reality shows, a lot of their strife and a lot of their arguments are faked, and they just look fake.
Their ratings.
They're made
ratings.
Up, yeah. They're made up.
Yep, exactly. And it's really unfortunate because our world is so strange, you don't need to make anything up.
No.
Just do the research, put in the time. You will get the evidence you seek. And that's what I like to say. You know, I always sign off my podcast with keep your head up, eyes open, and question everything.
That's right.
Get out from behind the monitors, right? Get out from behind my microphone and just go do your own research. You will experience it. I could bring you a ghost in a can, and someone will come up to me and say, that's BS, you faked it.
Yeah.
I don't believe it. I'm showing you. Unless they experience it themselves, they're just not going to believe it.
Yeah.
So go out and do it.
Certainly. Well, thank you, Jason Knight, for coming on. The show is over here.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And we'll have to get together with the other friend of ours, too.
I would love that. Yeah.
We'll have to do something with the three of us or something, you know, something can be done.
Yeah. He was just asking me Thursday, when do I want to be interviewed for his show?
Yeah.
SomewhereOutThereRadio.com. I said, anytime, man. I would love it.
There you go. All right.
Well, thank you, sir.
Sure. Have a good night.
You as well. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. All right, everyone. That's the end of the show here. I'm Stephen Roberts. This has been Cancel the Cabal on PeoplesInternetRadio.com. Thanks for coming out, everyone. Have a good night.